cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
A shack of mystery to beat conspiracies, curiosity, spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. Mothman sightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collective brain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collective brain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the shack.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur. That's a little sneak peek, little dramatic irony. Little foreshadowing of what's to come on this episode. So I hope you guys are ready for an episode of The Shack. Because today we're discussing birds.
National Poultry Show.
So that consists of chickens. I saw chickens there.
There was a lot of other birds than chickens.
Well, I'm just telling them everything I saw. I saw a lot of other chickens. And then after the chickens, I saw a lot of geese.
There was a lot of geese.
Yeah, there's some big honkers. A lot of geese, a lot of ducks. Big ducks, little ducks, some as big as your head. And then pheasants.
Yeah.
Quail.
Yeah.
What else did I see? That's about all. No, one other thing. A swan. There was a swan there.
There was one swan for sale.
One swan. Do they do swans, like, judging? I didn't see any there for that.
I don't think they do. Let me look. I'll look in the book.
Well, that's...
So, if it's not, it has to have a standard.
Yeah.
Do it. So, that was an Australian black swan or a mute swan.
No, the one that was for sale. Other than that, I think that was all the types of animals we saw.
There was a lot of rabbits.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about the poultry show. We're going to stick to the fowl, not the, I don't know, not those long-eared protein poisoning rodent. No, I like rabbits. I don't know. I'm just trying to
poisoning.
Yeah, that's what they do if you eat enough of them.
I mean, if that's the only thing you eat.
I know. You know where I learned that from? Les Stroud, the best survivalist teacher man on the planet, in my opinion. He taught a whole generation to have the confidence to go out there and take your shot at the woods there. At least in the good ways, not like that Bear Grylls guy that was acting. Which, you know what? I don't even care. Like, he don't bother me at all.
I never said he bothered me.
No, he don't. But I mean, I was saying it in a tone that he was less than. But everyone's less than Les Stroud. Let's just put it there when it comes to survivalism and music and just the art he put on screen and on film. That's good. Those are the good things, the good media that humanity deserves. But instead we get, I don't know, demon pop hunter crap.
What's wrong with that?
Because it's laced with...
They were actively hunting and killing demons.
Yeah, well, the songs have hypnotic effects on humanity. That's what it's injecting subliminal messages in your mind. And you don't even realize it with kids too. So when they grow up, there's gonna be sleeper cells all over from the K-pop Demon Hunter.
I thought it was a good show.
See, that's how they trick you, dude. We gotta turn off our TVs, turn them off, and turn on the poultry shows. Get to your local poultry show and start learning about birds and nature and things that can provide for your life instead of television. That television is just, it's just bad. It's just bad. So we're going to try our best here to blend some conspiratorial thoughts and our truth. We're going to blend some truth with some fowl education, poultry education, aerial, I don't know, aerial something. And not that mermaid. We don't want that Ariel mermaid.
Jeez, you're
you know why
bad
she?
Today.
You know why she? You know why Ariel wears seashells?
Because she couldn't fit into her bee shells.
Yeah, that's my dad's joke. Or she grew out of her bee shells. It's my dad's favorite joke. People enjoy it.
Really big show. So, what'd you learn at the National Poultry Show?
Okay, so we went to the Ohio Poultry Natural Show, National.
The Ohio National Poultry Show.
Yeah, I screwed that all up. Which is the national show, but it's hosted in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, the state's capital. And as Daniel and Wilbur here speaking, it was my first time ever going to a bird show. It's the first time I've even seen a bird outside of the shack. Usually I'm locked in these four walls, just peering out the window, just hoping for the world to change. But we got out, and I saw chickens. Saw a lot of chickens. You guys don't know, the national show is pretty big. Mm-hmm. People drove from all across the country.
Technically the world. Not drove, yeah, but...
No, you're right. They
Mexico,
come.
Canada, and the U.S. had drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Every state was represented.
Yep.
Including Alaska. And I think Hawaii had people come.
Dang.
With Kikis.
Kikis?
Kikis.
Do they love me?
They're just they're like a Sarama. They're a tiny breed.
I hate that song.
And then Japan, there's always a couple Japanese participants.
Ooh, I mean, there was Coturnix quail there.
Not in the show, but.
No, but they were there. They existed there. Mm-hmm. There's big geese with those huge necks. Those were wild that we saw at that first place where you bought them chickens off that guy. Mm-hmm. He had them in the back. I don't even know what those were called. That's the first time I've ever seen one. But they were big, thick geese. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't remember.
There's a lot of birds. Either way, a lot of birds. It was...
Endens. They were Endens.
Oh, Endens. All right. I would say it was pretty educational. Pretty eye-opening. I don't know. I guess that's the first time I've seen... We've been to smaller shows or even been to small animal auctions, but there's never been that many, that organized, just that many birds. There was a lot. There was a lot. Just about anything you wanted to look for or see, it was there. Or a version of it. That guy was even breeding like the Cavercore, the Bantam Cavercores. I don't even think those exist.
Oh, I never looked.
Well, I think he was telling me, because I asked him, I think he was telling me that they're not a true Cavercor, but he crossbred Polish with Bantams to get the colors and the looks to basically recreate what would be a Bantam Cavercor. And that's what they look like. But I don't think they were true.
Nope, Cavercor's, there is a Bantam Cavercor.
There is? Mm-hmm. I don't think his were, though. I don't think his were.
322.
Ooh, all right. So what you're referencing is the... What is that book you're referencing?
The Standard of Perfection. It's put out by the APA, the American Poultry Association. So if it's a recognized breed, it's in this book.
It's in that book, and it's got all the information, all the specs of what they should be, at least for an optimal a specimen.
322.
You know what I mean? And I like that book. It's really interesting for anyone that doesn't know at home. All the books, all the pictures of all the birds are painted, like hand-painted. Mm-hmm. So there's not a single photograph in there. So you kind of, which is nice, because no two birds look like, no bird is going to look like, well, one that's, I mean, they're going to look similar to the ones that are painted, but there's not, you can't just take a bird out of the wild and say, and take a picture of it and say, this one is the Standard of Perfection, like this one in particular. That's why they, at least to my understanding, that's why they paint them. Mm-hmm. They paint the ideal, what would be.
Because that's the comment is the perfect bird does not exist.
Right.
Of the breed.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, no, this, it was pretty cool seeing all the birds. The people were very friendly too, and very educational.
Everybody's 99.9% of the people we ran into were extremely nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's nice and
nobody was rude. It just, there's not always a weird person here and there.
Well, I mean, that's every,
socially awkward.
That's every in everything in mm-hmm. every field. I mean, look at the stuff we talk about. We're those guys.
Fair.
Yeah. So it's no. Oh, there it goes. There, you did it. You owe this week. Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
I haven't drank in a year or so.
Almost. You'll be coming up in 3 months. Yeah, 3 months. Less than.
Less than.
Dang.
Or equal to.
I don't know where the button is. I was going to push the little cheering button.
It's okay.
It's all right. The people outside the shack, they know. They know. We should bring the shack to the poultry show next year.
Yeah.
Set up in there.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. I mean, they even, the ducks, all the ducks. There's a lot of ducks. We had a lot of Muscovy ducks, too, we had seen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't a ton of Muscovies.
Well, they had them all in that one section. Like,
oh,
I guess,
you mean at the show.
I guess that was the show section. So, okay, so yes. Let's explain that a little bit. So, being my first time, they had, like, basically it split up into, like, the show section building. And then the sale section building. So the sale sections where everyone's bringing in all their birds to mix and match and sell and barter and all that fun stuff to make some money. Basically like a big vendor's market with poultry, full of poultry, waterfowl and any other small animal you can think of. Like you said earlier, rabbits and I'm trying to think if we saw any other weird.
There were like chinchillas, dugas or however you say it.
Dugongs?
No, dugas, the little hopping.
Like the little squirrel, not yeah. Squirrels, but like
whatever they are.
Yeah,
there was rodents too,
like capybaras and stuff.
Yeah, I wish I would have bought a capybara.
Wouldn't that been nuts? Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. So we kind of walked back and forth between the show section and the vendors market section. That's what I'm gonna call it. Mm-hmm. But the show section was really nice. I guess I'll talk about that first. It was really neat. I mean, I have a video on my phone. I don't probably not gonna. I'll post it on the shack wall. I don't know, but I took a video, 360 video. I mean, it's crazy. It's all sectioned out by breed, by
it's breed. Like inside the breed, there's gender. So all the hens and then all the roosters.
Yeah.
And then their bantams and the standards are separate too.
So there's four different, when it comes to one bird, it's four different sections for one bird. And then you got all your different bird types. And then you, I don't know, they were all organized and set out. So there's just thousands and thousands of cages and rows set up with just awesome looking birds in each and every one of them, which is that was the cool part. Because every bird you saw just looked neat. I don't know, that's the best way I can say it. It just looked cool. because they were like show competition birds, all of them. So that was cool. And then you flip over to the vendor side of it, and I mean, we got there. So I was only there it was Friday, Saturday. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Or was, yeah.
It was Friday, Saturday. There's a little bit on Sunday, but
mostly just wind down and getting rid of the scraps. But so I was only there on a Friday. I didn't go on Saturday, so I didn't get to see the full action of the show. But the vendor's market was pretty active on Friday, and we just kept doing rounds and rounds through it, because every time you did a round, there was either a new vendor setting up or an old one sold all their stuff, and they were pulling out new birds and new stuff all the time. And I had my eye on a pair of pheasants, so I didn't even mention pheasants. There was a bunch of pheasants there.
Peacocks,
and yeah. I had my eye, our Galapovo family.
Mm-hmm.
Turkeys.
Galapovidae. Oh, there was a lot of turkeys.
Yeah, tons of turkeys. Oscillated, albinos. But I seen a couple pair of pheasants that just looked so awesome, and I was so close to buying them multiple times, and I never did. So, you know, sometimes you got to let the big fish go. But no, they were awesome. They were so cool. They were all white, and they had like that, what was that, peach color on their back or on their head?
Yeah, were they Amherst pheasants?
Yeah, I don't remember what he said.
Pheasants.
They looked royal to me.
But then they were peach colored.
Oh, yeah.
So they were like a het.
I don't know what that means, but I liked them.
They had another color on top of their other color.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes.
So their babies, some of them would have looked normal, and some of them would have been that. Oh. And some of them would have just carried that.
I should have. Bad thing. You know what? We don't live. There's no such thing as should. We don't live in should. If you use that word in your vocabulary, you should take it out. That's a joke. But really, though, that's a word that you don't need to use. It serves you no purpose. So remove should from your vocabulary. That was just a little side tangent from the shack. Little helpful hints of knowledge, you know, we just sprinkle along the way. Little signs you just pick up and we drop them. All right, but yeah, there's birds. I mean, going through that vendor's market was pretty cool. You bought some birds you had your eye on that looked pretty.
I bought a bunch.
Yeah, you did. So we'll see how they integrate with the fellow flock.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully so far so good. But no, I would go back again. After seeing it for the first time, I mean, it was a bit much for me being a first timer. I'm glad I only went one day because, I don't know, 2 days would probably been too much for me.
Well, we watched a lot of the show the next day, and then a lot of raffle tickets for charity and all that.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
I won an incubator.
You won one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Did you get it home already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Well, it's in the truck.
Good deal.
But it was like one of the charity things.
We'll have to start incubating again, see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. You got any quail eggs ready?
No.
Not right now. No, too cold, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. But yeah, I mean, no, that's pretty sweet. I didn't know you won the incubator. Yeah, I would encourage anyone that's into, I guess, poultry at all, any kind of birds. It's definitely worth going to and checking it out. Especially if you're in the Ohio area, you should, but even in surrounding states, it's worth checking out. I'd say look into it next year, spend a visit, just if you're a bird person. I mean, if you're not a bird person, it's not going to be, probably not going to be too excited, but no, I
Why
thought,
not?
If you're not a bird person, there's nothing there for you to get excited about. If birds don't excite you, this ain't your place. But if you are, I highly encourage it. It was pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
What else did you learn?
What did I learn?
Mm-hmm. It was an educational experience. What did you learn?
I mean, just kind of the barter, the trading, and the moving of animals, I guess, as far as selling them. I don't know. You guys kind of see how, I guess, different people sell their stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, because obviously everyone's different, but in the way they sell the birds is different. Some people were very friendly and like, basically, yeah, if you want them, like this is everything about them. And some people are a little more pushy. But, and then some people's prices were a little, and to me, outrageous. And then some were extremely reasonable. It was kind of, I don't know. He just kind of got
What was the most outrageous price you've seen?
Oh, let's see here. I'm trying to think. Well, I don't understand. See, I don't understand. But some of them, they were selling a pair of birds for like $300. And they didn't look like nothing like. No, I don't even know if it was a pair. I think it was like one for $250. And you can get the pair. Does that sound right?
I mean, I'm sure those are real prices.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that in one of them. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I don't even want to stop and talk. Because I don't, I'm also one of those horrible shoppers that if you wrote me in, you could probably talk me into buying anything if I got the money for it.
I'm trying to think of what, for one bird or a pair of birds. I mean, there was a bunch of pairs of birds that were 200 to 300.
Yeah, yeah. Which to me is wild.
Show quality, genetic lines, heritage breeds and all that.
Yeah.
There were some call ducks that were $600, $700, $800.
Wild.
And which their bottom end is expensive, or used to be. It's finally starting to get enough breeders now where they're getting lower.
The market's starting to come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, some of the lower end ones are less, you know, desirable ones.
Yeah.
Because it used to be when I was a kid that like a really bad show quality call duck was still $100.
Why call ducks? Why are they so expensive?
They're ornamental. So they're like yard art is what people call them.
Okay. And that's why?
Yeah. So they used to not be as common. So everybody wanted them. It was supply and demand.
Gotcha. Okay.
So then it climbed and now there's people that want to show them.
What are they from overseas or something? Mm-mm. Oh, then why aren't they as common?
Nobody was breeding them.
In captivity, they're not.
There's no wild call ducks.
Oh, there ain't?
All domestic ducks except Muscovies are mallards.
Oh, okay. So all ducks are mallards.
Except
Muscovies.
All domestic ducks.
Oh, I gotcha.
Are mallards. So even if they're white, blue, green, it doesn't matter.
Doing that duck test, technically, your brain is right.
No, that's wild duck. That's different.
Yeah.
All domestic ducks, though, except Muscovies or mallards.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Pekins, the great big huge Pekins are white. They're white or mallards.
Now I'm on the same page as you.
It's like dogs.
Yeah.
They don't exist in the wild. You're not the only one. I had to explain that a couple times this weekend.
Well, some dogs do, right? Like dingoes or whatnot, or wolves.
That's not a domestic variety of dog.
So no domestic dogs exist in the wild. Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Because they're not real dogs either, because dogs, canids are real.
Yeah.
Dogs are a man-made product.
Gotcha.
Or a man-made animal.
Animal husbandry.
Mm-hmm. They're all Canis lupus, which is wolves.
Gray wolf. Even that dire wolf. Just a plain old gray wolf.
It's not a plain old gray wolf, but it is a gray wolf.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. It's just a gray wolf. They turned the dials on and then told you it was a dire wolf. A.K.A. lied. They lied. Yeah, well, fib for a news story, and the news is like, yeah, look, this is real. Like, come on, people, wake up. News ain't real. They're liars. They're all liars. They all always have been.
What else did you learn?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just learned.
What was the weirdest breed of chicken you've seen?
Oh, weirdest breed?
Mm-hmm. You've seen some Urdiogantes.
Yeah, those tall ones. Those are pretty cool. Those big, tall, thick-legged birds. They're almost like, well, not turkey size, but their legs were like turkey legs.
I mean, they get taller than turkeys.
Yeah?
They're the tallest chicken in the world. There are not the ones we've seen there, the genetically, but Urdiogantes get between 3 and 4 feet tall.
That's pretty tall for a chicken.
Mm-hmm. The ones there, I'd bet they'd probably top out around 3.
Okay. Yeah, those were neat. Weirdest chicken. Gosh, I wish I would have took more pictures because I don't remember. I mean, I've seen about not every type of chicken, but.
No, there was stuff there I hadn't seen before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Now I'm drawing a blank. I remember pointing out, like, there were breeds I had never seen in person before. Now I'm trying to remember.
I know, it was a lot of birds. It's hard to keep track. I wonder if I got any pictures from it that I can identify something strange or weird, or pictures I took that of significance, but I don't think so. I think I just took pictures some of you guys and those, I don't know, but those big ducks with the big old necks, those were cool.
The big ducks with the big old necks.
The ones I was talking about in the beginning. Or I guess geese, not ducks. Geese.
Oh, well.
Big old geese with the big fat necks. I mean, those things are like...
Oh, too loose. The big floppy necks.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, thick. It was like a small paper towel roll thick. Not like the XL paper towel rolls. But I don't know. These things were... I was impressed. I don't know. I guess I'm just not around birds as much as you are, so they were pretty cool to me. But I mean, I don't know if there was anything weird that stood out that I liked. But man, people do. They just love their birds, though. And it is kind of not funny to see, but just like I mentioned earlier, everyone's techniques for selling you stuff. Like, some people just put their stuff on display and sit back and just, all right, you're going to come to me and buy my birds or not?
I don't.
And then other people are holding their birds, walking up to you. Like,
I don't remember any of the pushiness. I think that was just you.
I mean, I had some people asking me, but I was also, I think they maybe seen.
They were weak.
Yes. Or they seen I was didn't know what I'm doing. So they were like.
Because I didn't have any of that.
Well, yeah, very different experiences navigating through that. So, yeah, the quail guy really tried. I got his card. He wanted to sell me his quail. Mm. But I liked him. I'm not ready for him right now.
You're taking some today.
No, I'm not. Where am I going to put him?
You have a cage already.
Not really.
Yeah. It's in better than what they're in right now.
I guess you could be right. I still need some tweaking, though.
No, you're taking them today.
Nope.
Or they're going to murder each other.
They already started. Mm-hmm. Anyone need some quail? No, I mean, what I want to do is get the freeze dryer fired back up again, get a bunch of quail eggs and make some freeze dried.
I thought you were just freeze drying the quail.
Well, I didn't consider that, but that's not a bad idea. Probably could do that. A freeze dried quail?
Like live? Put it in the freeze dryer live?
No, not doing that. I don't even know what would happen, especially when the vacuum activated.
I mean, it would die pretty quick.
Well, I know that, but it would, I don't know what it would look like, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know what the final outcome would be.
Well, there's taxidermists that use it.
Ooh. Yeah, for fish, right?
Fish, birds, no, there was, talking about chickens, there was a Sultan, which is a white feather-legged Polish, that won a championship. It may have been at Ohio, it may have been at one of the others.
And they freeze-dried it?
Yeah, the whole, like standing, they got it propped up, right, and froze-dry it, and it's still there, like... It's a new way of taxidermy.
Huh. Interesting.
I said I wanted to try it with like a little bluegill or something like that.
Yeah, I remember.
A freeze dryer just to see what.
But I didn't think like a whole bird.
Oh, no. There's people to do it with like dogs and cats.
Oh, that's terrible.
But they're not killing dogs and cats.
No. I know. They're freeze drying their dead pets.
Yes.
Oh, I wanted my dog taxidermied.
I mean, I don't, if it dies naturally, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little weird, but...
It's a little weird, but...
I don't think you're insane or nothing for doing that.
Even now, I mean, he's been gone now probably 7 years maybe now? Has it been that long? No way. Maybe. But if I could see him just sitting there and just give him a little pat on the head again, that'd be nice. Even though I know he's not in there, but... I don't know. My dog was kind of, he had human eyes.
Oh, was he a guy?
He had human eyes and he would look at you and he knew what he was thinking. He'd talk to you.
What was the most surprising thing?
Actually, I liked the silkies.
Oh gosh, awful birds.
Some of them that they had there were so nice.
No, there were some extremely nice silkies.
Yeah. And that really impressed me. Just
you missed
them.
The silky guy.
Oh, I did. What do you mean?
There's a famous, like, he's a YouTube, TikTok guy or whatever. Dude's nuts.
So shout out to the silky guy.
Dude's nuts.
Okay, go on. Why is he nuts?
It's like silky Pilates or something like that, silky Lotties.
Okay.
So I can't remember what it's called. Or silky therapy, like therapy. I can't remember. He had some name like that. But he can't do math, first off. So he has a bucket of silkies. They ride in the car. So I've had trained chickens.
Yeah.
They sit in this bucket. They don't leave. They ride in the car with him. Like, all this stuff. So he does like tricks and lets people pet him and stuff. So we asked him, because we seen him there. He's really eccentric. And
you mean as if he didn't drive around in a chicken?
Beyond
eccentric.
Beyond that eccentric. Like, I was that eccentric. Like, I had chickens trained that wore costumes.
Yeah.
Beyond.
Okay.
That, like, level of eccentricity.
Okay. What'd you ask him?
Well, basically, I asked him how much they cost, because he was at a poultry show. And I knew they were going to be a lot. And he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And he's like, this whole bucket would be, like, $3,000. There's, like, 8 silkies in there. I'm like, yeah, okay. Or 9 silkies in there. Like, they're trained and they're, like, famous or whatever.
Yeah.
Then he started telling us the prices, and it was, like, $10,000 in silkies.
For the bucket?
Yeah. And he's like, well, that one's $850, that one's $1,200, that one's $950, like, in first three.
Yeah.
Like, that's over $3,000 right there.
Yeah. Math's not math. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun. Well, what did he do for you guys?
He told us his whole life story.
Okay.
About how he tried to kill himself, and he was super... Keep mine.
Yeah.
Didn't ask.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of kids. I'm with kids.
Yeah.
And I get what he wants to do is be like a public speaker to help, you know, mental illness and that kind of stuff and the hard times. And we're just like, good that you want to do that. Calm down a bit.
Yeah.
Because all I want to do now is walk away from you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your story.
So his message delivery needs some tuning?
Needs some fine tuning.
Yeah.
And he was very erratic, like up, down, loud, quiet, moving all the time. Like, you would think he was on drugs then.
Yeah, but he's just high on life.
Well, I think his brain's also fried from doing the drugs.
Or the chicken poo.
That doesn't make you hyper. It makes you slow, believe me.
Oh, I was going to say. Maybe it gives you ADD.
He was like, it was on crack. I think his brain is just a little fried. He wasn't bad. He was very nice.
Yeah.
And he had normal silkies too.
Yeah, as you say, maybe we shouldn't tell everyone, yeah, go look up this guy. And then he was high on crack.
No. He was not on drugs.
No, I know. I know that.
It
was like he was.
Yes. But he was very nice, and he would let kids hold and pet.
Yeah,
birds,
that's awesome.
He was.
Chicken guy, silky guy, we're just messing with you.
Yeah, no, he was super nice.
Yeah.
I do think his delivery needs a little bit of work.
Well, there's constructive criticism.
Because people do hire him to come to events and stuff like that. Because we were thinking for the fair, and that's what our concern was.
Talent sharing his story.
No problem with sharing the story. The delivery.
Delivery of his story.
Yes.
Yeah. I get it.
It was a lot of information, extremely quick.
Yeah. And it may be graphic, too graphic for
it. It was very graphic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he told us how he tried to do it.
Yeah, that's, you don't need to do that. Those details you can leave out for a private, small, adult audience.
Well, once again, not a bad guy. Just,
no.
He's trying to do good in the world.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people in that situation where they basically got to the end of their road.
Oh, suicide's a real issue here.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world, but and in the States.
You face that. When you finally face it face to face and you overcome it and you, like the chicken guy or the silky guy, you just do what you want to do after that and you're free. Once you're free from that daunting weight on your shoulders, I don't know, chasing you, constantly following you, poking you in the back, just letting you know it's still there. It's still there. But you got to turn around and point your finger back at it and say, hey. Knock it off.
That's Selkies. I'm trying to find.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, you see, you just look that big storm right square in the eye and you say, yes, sir, the check is in the mail. Dead silence. Oh, no, I'm just quoting one of my. So if I do, I stop watching movies and film and Hollywood and all that BS, but. I still will quote and remember the old stuff. The old stuff that was still good and wholesome in the world before everything got infected by, you know, subliminal hidden messages and meanings that go beyond the scope of the movie that just indoctrinate you and put subconscious thoughts in your mind and patterns of thought behavior. Programming. Yeah, beyond that, back when it was still good and Kurt Russell was still making movies, Big Trouble in Little China, check it out. Great film. What were you going to say?
Nothing, I just was listening to you.
Oh, okay, okay. But yeah.
Did you not learn anything, though?
I learned that I probably could have placed in the old Cower Core.
If you showed your rooster, you'd have won.
Yeah, I could have won Nationals.
Nationals first place.
Dang it. Why didn't we register him?
I try to get you to.
I don't know how this works.
It just costs $6.
That's too much.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
I'm just joking.
The only reason they keep it that low is because at the absolute number of animals they have enter.
Yeah. They got it. They got plenty.
Yeah.
It makes enough money. And now they're charging for parking, so.
That's the fair, so I found that out.
Oh, the fair's doing that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I guess with all that construction they're doing, they're trying to make a little bit on top of it.
Well, there was a gem show there all weekend, too, and oh, really? Another thing.
Oh, okay. So there's multiple things going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair, then.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't because it cost $5 to get in for the whole weekend.
Uh-huh.
To the like. And when we went on Friday, they didn't even charge us to go to the vending area.
Oh, they didn't?
Mm-mm.
Maybe that's because it was Friday.
It could be. They're very chill.
Yeah, I mean, most chicken people are.
We met the guy from TV.
Which one?
The Crazy Chicken documentary.
You pointed him out to me, but did you get to talk to him then?
I talked to him on Saturday a little bit. Let me find his name.
Okay. Because you pointed him out to me on Friday when we were there. Oh, we took the great...
Not talking into the microphone.
We took the great William with us from that Crypts of the Corn show. If you guys haven't seen that episode, the great William episode, he was with us. He was even educating me about chickens and stuff.
He chose chickens.
He pointed out the new breed of bird I'd never seen before.
Which was?
The giant ground Bigfoot bird.
Oh, gosh.
It's featherless... But it's not hairless. But it's a big flightless ground bird. I was actually walking around the show floor, and we were following it for a bit. But yeah, he educated me on that for a bit, and told me some stuff I'd never known before. So, you know, thank you, William, for that educational experience. Oh, and Daniel was the ground bird. That was the flightless. Featherless, hairy ground bird. I think that's what we called it.
I'm trying to see the cast.
Bigfoot bird. That's what he named it, the Bigfoot bird. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I don't know. The National Poultry Show, it's pretty cool. That should be like my review of it. Put that on the shirt. National Poultry Show. It's pretty cool. That'll get everyone flooding the gates. No, I'm looking forward to going back in next year. I think I will now enter a Cower Core. Maybe enter in the rooster. I'll enter a rooster and a...
I'll give you my nice hen.
Yeah, get them both in there. Get those genetics going.
Come on, what's his name? I found his picture. It followed three people, and I'm trying to figure out which one he is.
What do you mean it followed three people?
The documentary was like kind of following three storylines to get to the Nationals.
Yeah.
Because it was a silky lady. And that was her big booth, I believe.
Oh, the one we saw with all the nice silkies?
Mm-hmm. But she went, I think she was showing all weekend, so she was over in the other building the whole weekend.
Gotcha, okay.
And then it was another guy, I think Legrand's, and then Wyandotte's was the guy I'm talking about, but now he's on Hamburg's.
Did they have any Foghorn Leghorns there?
Foghorn Leghorns? They had tons of Legrand's.
Isn't that his name?
His name is,
sir.
Foghorn, and he is a Leghorn.
Leghorn?
It is spelled Leghorn.
Okay.
But it is pronounced Leghorn.
And his name is Foghorn?
Mm-hmm.
Was that have any significance?
No, it's just because he was loud.
Oh, really? That's pretty funny.
He's like rooster, Foghorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with the breed, as far as I know.
I always liked him, though, from the cartoon.
Did they have any pink-headed ducks?
I don't remember seeing that. Did they?
No, you remember we didn't.
Yeah, we did an episode on them. Yep, I don't remember seeing
it. We didn't do an episode on them.
Well, we listened to an episode on them.
From the walls.
Huh?
We were in the walls listening.
Yeah, we were just waiting on deck, waiting to come in the room. The pink-headed ducks, yes. Is that on Freaky Fauna Friday?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's hard to... Oh, everything blends together. It's all one. We're all one, people. At the end of the day, we're all one.
I joined the Denver National Club.
They're nice.
I've been talking to them on Facebook. They're very nice.
Did you get like a little button?
Not yet.
No.
I don't know if they do. There's only like 60 members. It's not a huge club.
Well, that means there's not that many buttons to hand out, so they should get one. You might want to inquire. I would at least shoot them a message. Say like, hey,
I just
joined. Do we get a button or anything or a pin? And then if they say, well, no, we don't really delete, click.
Give me my money back.
Yeah. Out. You don't know how to run a proper organization. No button.
Anything to add, or are you ready to wrap up?
Well, I mean, what would be the reason to go check out the show for you?
Well, if you don't, like, first off, just seeing the number of breeds, because a lot of people don't understand how many breeds of chicken there are.
That, yes, you're correct. I mean, this book's pretty thick, the American Standard.
Mm-hmm. And some of them, there's 10 breeds per page sometimes,
yeah,
depending on what page.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot there, and just to see the kind of the community, people are so nice.
Yeah, very.
That kind of stuff, and, you know, I think people always need more community.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very welcoming. Like, there's groups for pretty much any breed of chicken. Like, they just have, like, I guess fan pages or groups or whatever. So yeah. I joined the Denver's, because I had them when I was a kid. And I got them back this weekend, finally.
Nice.
Because they're very hard to come by. Even there, I bought every one of the quail-colored hens, and I bought half of the roosters that were available at the entire show.
All right. So you're really going all in on them.
There wasn't that many there is the point.
Yeah.
I was able to buy them all.
You bought all four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were three other roosters, though, I seen. I didn't see any more hens from different... And then there was a set of blues, self-blue, of the Denver's. But I decided I already spent too much money.
Yeah.
So there's a club in that, and they were super welcoming and fun. I've been talking to them on Facebook and... But like Saramas, you weren't there for it. So each of these clubs, even at these events, do like their own little show too.
Okay.
And that's a lot of fun. Or they had we got to watch the Sarama Club have their own Sarama thing, and they get their own ribbons for their club. And
okay.
Same with the Whiteface Black Spanish, another breed I just got back into.
Yeah.
They had their own awards, like their own little ceremony and stuff like that.
Nice.
So there's like, once you're in the clubs, there's other ways to do, like, it's just fun. Have a little community and stuff like that.
Right. And that's what we all need. That's what we're cultivating here at the Shack. Community.
And it's just a way to see, I mean, the number of breeds. Like, there's stuff there that you don't even know exists.
Right.
The standard modern Gamberts. That was the thing I'd never...
Oh, that.
I'd never seen in person before.
There was a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of them. And those are pretty neat looking. They look like a cross between a chicken and a pheasant, I'd say. Just because they get the long...
Something fell and it just made me jump.
Okay. They got those long, like, thin legs. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So what makes them a modern game bird?
They're modern.
I understand that, but like...
They're a game bird.
So where'd they come from?
England.
They were, I mean, but where'd they... So they bred them to be that way in England?
So what happened, there's old English game birds and there's modern game birds.
Right.
So England had killed all of their wildlife that they could hunt.
You're right.
So they started breeding animals to release to hunt.
Okay.
They can't survive on their own. They just pretty much release them, count to 30, and then go shoot them.
Oh, fun. So modern game birds can't survive in the wild?
I mean, as much as any chicken could.
Yeah, they're still just chickens, basically.
Yeah, they're just chickens. They're just chickens.
So if some could establish and they didn't have predators to, like, wipe them out, after, like, a few generations, they might be able to, like, change or navigate the wilds themselves again?
I don't know about navigate the wilds themselves.
I guess in their environment. I don't know.
I mean, there's invasive chickens. And if you go to places, like, Hawaii's got invasive chickens, Florida's got invasive chickens. So you can have wild populations of domestic chicken, like dog. It's just very hard for them to get established, and it's very rare in colder climates.
Yeah, especially around here, it wouldn't happen.
Because even though chickens can survive the cold,
yeah,
they're not the best at finding food in the winter.
That makes sense.
They're from the jungle.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it next year. Hopefully we got some birds by then to show off or to enter or trade or barter with. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll be it.
It's a laid back, little chill episode of DW Shack.
Daniel's very, very tired.
Well, I just remember sometimes, I mean, I would love to just go on a rant every week. Sometimes you got to come back down to earth and I guess talk about stuff that we're doing in our lives. But I mean, there's always time to change and create change, not just for the world, but I mean, yeah, for the world, you can create change in the world. And it just starts at home. It starts within you and it starts locally. So in order to change the world, you got to be the change you want to see. So make those changes within yourself and then let that reflect out to the world and inspire somebody today. Just be your best self and inspire somebody else to also do the same. Take long nights, you through the lies. Flat earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hold up a mystery unsolved. Through our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.